preach tonight, Lord, helping me, out of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to begin reading verse 7. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. It was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?" We're going to stop right there and pray with you. I've got a friend whose wife's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And it's on my mind tonight. And I wish you'd pray for her and him. Just great family, great Christian people. And if you would pray for them tonight as we pray. Her name is Naomi Greenlee. So let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank You. God, You've been so good to us.
Amen.
You've blessed us. And You've helped us, encouraged us, and strengthened us, and give us our daily needs, and watched over us, and kept us. God, I thank You for that. I thank You for this church and for the spiritual blessings here. I thank You for Pastor Don. And God, what encouragement he is to me. And God, I just pray that You'll bless his work here and bless this church and add to it as You see fit. God, help all our churches. Strengthen them and add to them. God, may we be strong and make us be lighthouses wherever You place us. God bless Your word tonight. Thank You for every person that's here. May the Holy Spirit have His way in this meeting. Lord, I pray for this dear lady with the epilepsy tonight.
Yes.
The little baby also. Just help her. Do what the doctors can't do there.
Right.
And help her.
Amen.
God, I pray for Miss Greenlee. Please touch her and her family today. God, if it's not Your will that You heal her, I pray that You would. But God, if that's not the case, I pray that Your grace would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And You just help them during this difficult time. Lord, again, we praise You and thank You for all Your blessings. Bless us tonight. Help us, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We ask it in the name of Jesus. And amen.
Amen.
I'd like to preach on the subject, God's help for the discouraged. God's help for the discouraged. You know about the prophet Elijah. You know that he had the contest on Mount Carmel and seemed like a great victory, didn't it?
Yeah.
Prophets of Baal, they lost that contest, and God showed forth His mighty power. And then... you find Elijah here in a cave. And what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this portion of Scripture about Elijah? What was the Lord trying to teach Elijah here with these four demonstrations of power? Elijah had won a great victory, but now he was running for his life. That's an odd thing. The prophet had become so discouraged, if you look at verse 4, he said he wanted to die. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's."
Right.
You know, we sung that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." The man who wrote that song struggled with depression and tried to commit suicide on more than one occasion. There's a story that he got into a cab. He was going to jump in the I think it was the Thames River in London, and commit suicide. And he told the cabbie, he said, "Take me to the bridge." And the fog was so thick that the cabbie rode around for about 25, 30 minutes and told him, he said, "I can't find the bridge." And when he realized where he's at, he was right back in his house. And he got out of the cab and went back in his house. And he took that as a providence of God, that God didn't want him to do that. It's sad when people get in that shape, but people do get in that shape. And if you don't know about that man, his name was William Cooper. It looks like Cowper, but they pronounce it Cooper over in England. You know how the people talk funny. They need to learn English over in England, don't they? I used to listen to the BBC at work, and we had an old boy I worked with, and he'd be listening to people over there, and he'd say, "Them people don't know how to talk." I said, "No, it's us, we don't know how to talk." But that man, you know, it's an interesting story. God worked it out that he ended up living with John Newton. John Newton took care of him. And they wrote hymns together. John Newton and William Cooper. But Elijah here, he wanted to die.
Yeah.
Elijah found himself a cave to hide in. The Bible tells us here, he found a cave. In verse 8 says, near Horeb, and Horeb means desolate.
Yeah.
But it also means the Mount of God. It means desolate, but it means the Mount of God. And I just want to ask you tonight, have you ever felt like throwing in the towel? That's what Elijah felt like here. He felt like throwing in the towel.
Sure did.
You ever feel like everything's against you? We all have times like that, don't we? Many of us knows how it feels to be discouraged or depressed, that you just want to be alone. I'll be honest with you, I struggle a little bit, not much, but I struggle a little bit with depression sometimes. My wife has come to realize when it's happening to me, and she can pull me back out of it a little bit. Because when I get that way, you know what I want to do? I want to be alone. I don't want to be around nobody. Like Elijah, I want to find a cave and crawl in. Things had not gone like Elijah was hoping they'd go. Life doesn't go like we hope it goes. Have you ever noticed that? If you haven't noticed that, you haven't lived very long. We have these plans and schemes, and life just don't always work out that way. Our kids will break our hearts, and our grandkids will break our hearts, and circumstances change, and life gets difficult sometimes. And you know, old age is not for sissies. As we get older, things start falling apart on us, causing us grief, you know. Being around Don just showed me that this week. You know, a lot Elijah had won a great victory, but that great victory didn't seem so great now. You know, after that great victory, Ahab didn't change. Isn't that something? They saw the fire fall. They saw the fire lick up the water and the sacrifice and the stones. And Ahab didn't change. He still was mean as he ever was. And Jezebel certainly didn't change. As a matter of fact, all she did was got mad. Her. In verse 10, the Bible tells us, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I'm the only feller left. Yeah. Think about what this country's guilty of. I mean the United States of America. Think about the babies we kill. Think about the how we've legalized homosexuality. Think about all the wickedness that goes on here. You know, the average young person today thinks you're unhinged if you say homosexuality is a sin. Isn't that weird? I mean, that's, you know, in 1962 it was illegal in all 50 states.
Yes, it was.
And now it's going to be illegal to say anything about it if it keeps going the way it's going. That's just the world we're living in, isn't it? Our nation's turned its back on God. And we have sown to the wind as a nation, and now we're beginning to reap the whirlwind, aren't we? And I'll be honest with you, I sometimes can't help but think the majority of people's lost their minds. I'm like Elijah, I'm the only fella left. You ever feel like that? Ain't there anybody normal left? Ain't there anybody decent left? Ain't there anybody moral left? You know, that's not the case, though, is it? We get to feeling that way, but that's not the case.
Amen.
I must admit that occasionally I feel like finding a cave to hide in myself. The prophet Elijah was downcast. He was hoping things would get better, but they didn't. Life's like that. I used to work with a fella, and when things would get difficult on the job, and we'd all get real upset and aggravated, he'd say, remember guys, it's just a setup. It's all set up. And by that, he meant that the God was in control. Everything was going according to his plan.
Amen.
No sense to get stressed out.
Good faith.
No sense to get stressed out. We do, though, don't we? We're so dumb.
Yeah.
We get stressed out anyhow.
Yeah.
Jezebel was as mean as ever. And she put a price on his head. She said, I'm going to kill you. A little bit earlier, Elijah stood up to a king and he stood up to 850 prophets of Baal and said, come on, boys. And now he's running from a woman. I can understand that sometimes. He took off like a scared rabbit, didn't he?
Sure did.
One minute he's facing down and making fun of false religion. You ought not make fun of false religion, boys. We ought to coexist. Amen. I got some bumper stickers out in the car if y'all want one. Coexist. One minute he was making fun of them, and the next minute he's running for his life and wishing he could die.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make any sense either. It don't make any sense to run for your life and wish you could die in the same breath. Hey, if you want to die, just stand right there. Jezebel will take care of you. Right? You know what that is? And we all do it. That's confusion when we're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And we make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And say things we shouldn't.
Amen.
And think things we shouldn't. Yeah. It's a lack of faith.
Sure is.
And, I wish I could tell you it never happens to me, but it happens to me all the time. Amen.
Amen.
God's not the author of confusion.
Amen. All right.
We just need to keep our minds stayed on Him, don't we? The Bible tells us in the New Testament Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means he's made out of the same stuff we're made out of.
Sure.
Isn't that right? And you see that here. I'm glad that God shows the good and the bad and the ugly about people in the Bible. Because if He only showed the good, I would think I'd never be able. But because I see it all, I know that He loves me even when I'm not what I ought to be. That encourages me, helps me to know that. We're like Elijah. We might be bold as a lion one day and timid as a mouse the next. I want you to think about Peter. He denied his Lord, didn't he? You know what he said earlier? I'll not deny you, Lord. He said, I'll go to prison or die. Yeah. These other fellas, who knows, they probably will do it, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I got to think about that this morning, and I thought, what is the lesson there? And I think, I might be wrong, but I think Peter had what we all have sometimes, some pride. And he was right in what he was saying, but he was not humble in what he was saying. He thought he could stand for God on his own. Nobody can stand for God on their own. Nobody can. Our strength, the arm of flesh will fail you. We need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord.
Amen.
Notice our text, verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. I wish He passed by. Mm-hmm. Amen. I wish the Lord would pass by. I wish He'd send a real revival and save people and revive Christians.
Yeah.
That's my prayer. Yeah. Maybe tonight will be the start. Maybe this week will be the start of a revival. Maybe God will do something in people's hearts and turn them and change them and make them be more like Jesus Christ and make them witness and make them want to get closer to God.
Yeah.
Revival is not for lost people. In order to revive something, they got to be vibed first. You revive them. You got to have some life in you in order to revive. I want to point out a few things from this portion of Scripture and see if we can make some application. Number one, noise and commotion don't necessarily mean God's in it. Noise and commotion don't necessarily mean God's in it. Y'all know I move around a lot and wave my arms and sometimes I even shout. I felt bad about shouting because some of y'all look nervous. But when I read the book of Psalms, there's a lot of shouting going on in there. And heaven sounds like a noisy place. But just because a fellow shouts and hollers and runs up there, I don't mean that. What I mean by that is, I think about Jonathan Edwards. They say that he basically stood up in front of his congregation and read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Basically read it from a manuscript. And people were so under conviction, they held on to the pillars of the church because they thought they were sliding into hell.
That's true.
And what I mean by that is this. God can use who He wants to and how He wants to. And it don't matter who the preacher is if the Holy Spirit don't help.
Right.
And it don't matter His mannerisms or anything like that. What matters is God, the Holy Spirit, has to be in. noise and commotion doesn't necessarily mean God's in it. You know, we got a lot of folks today, they run to where the noise is. You know, we were swinging off the chandeliers last Sunday night. Well, I'd come down here and look at that. Amen. We sang for 5 hours and the preacher didn't even preach. Leonard Ravenhill said, we mistake rattle for revival and commotion for creation and action for unction. Yeah. He was right. There was a lot of commotion, and as the prophets of Baal, they was leaping and jumping and cutting themselves, acting like idiots. Amen. Elijah got up and prayed 63 words and the fire fell. 63 words. There's a lesson in there somewhere for us preachers, Don. 63 words. God works how He wants to, don't He?
Amen.
He works different ways at different times. And, for example, God knocked Paul to the ground and blinded him. But He opened Lydia's heart.
Yeah.
God does what He wants to.
Amen.
Noise and commotion don't necessarily mean God's in it.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's no time to retreat. We need to take a stand.
Yes, sir. Come on, brother.
It's no time to retreat. We need to take a stand. If you look at verse 12, the Bible says, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice."
Yeah, boy.
I noticed, God, He does things that's just, it's kind of amazing. I want to say He's got a sense of humor, but I don't know if I should say that. But what, you know what He said? After all that, after the earthquake, and after the fire, and after the wind, you know what He said? He went right back there to, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" It's like when Jonah got spit up on the shore. You know what God said? He said the same thing He said to him earlier.
Yeah.
It don't matter. It don't matter. God's not changing.
Amen.
He's not changing. He said in verse 13, "And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood there at the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
God had sent a strong wind, such a strong wind it broke the rocks. He'd sent an earthquake. He'd sent a fire. Elijah, he stood right there at the mouth of that cave, watched every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And then there's that still small voice, and Elijah went,
"Yeah,
I can't handle that." God, we serve a powerful God, don't we?
Amen.
Just a still, small whisper is more than we can handle from our God. I want you to notice what Elijah said. Verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous. I noticed that phrase, "I have been." You know, our church has got a lot of has-beens in them. I used to do this, and I used to do that. Are you a has-been? I used to go there, but they hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Love your heart.
Yeah.
I used to go there, and that preacher made me mad. I used to do that, but I just got too busy. If you're too busy to serve God, you're too busy.
Amen.
You got your priorities out of whack. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Y'all believe that?
Yes, I do.
I believe that.
I do.
Or, "I'm just too tired." Some of you young whippersnappers, "I'm just too tired. 25 years old, I'm too tired." Been tired as yet, do they, Mike? I'm just so tired. Can't come to meeting. You know, you find an excuse. When we had four children, under the age of what? Seven? And going to church on Sunday mornings was a chore.
Absolutely.
I mean, you had one of them throwing up, one of them tearing up, one of them, you know, just everything going on. And it was like pandemonium on our house Sunday morning. And I had a wise aunt, and she was a good Christian lady. And we were telling her about it, how it was like at the house on Sunday morning. I mean, it was just, if anything was going to go wrong, it was going to happen on Sunday morning. And my aunt said, you just need to stand up in the middle of the house and say it out loud, devil, we're going to church this morning no matter what, so you just may as well leave us alone. Now, I'm telling you, we did that, and he did. Things got better. We just purposed we was going to church. We just going to church. If they threw up all over the place, we just wiped them up and went on. Amen. I spit up. You know how babies do. I don't think y'all bring kids to sick when they're in church when they're sick to make everybody else sick. I'm talking about like little babies do. They just right when you get ready to load them in the car seat, that's when they do that trick. You might be late, but you can go. Amen. God said, what doest thou here? Let me ask you tonight, where are you?
Amen.
Where are you? Where are you in your Christian walk? Are you going forward or going back or standing still?
Yeah.
What doest thou here? It's not time to hide, is it?
Right.
It's time to take a stand, Christians. By the way, here's another thing God does. He always asks where people are at, and he knows exactly where you're at. God asks questions of people, and he knows everything. You know what he's doing? He's trying to make you realize where you're at.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He wants you to understand where you're at. You know, God knows if you're truly saved or not. God knows if you're a hypocrite. He knows what you watch at the house, and what you listen to, and what you read. He knows what you look at on that dumb phone.
Right.
He knows all about you. Amen.
He does.
You can run and you can hide, but you can't hide from God.
Right.
Can't hide from God. The Bible says the Lord pondereth the hearts. Lord pondereth the hearts. Notice what it says in verse 11. Go forth and stand. You know, Elijah was a great prophet. He stood for God. He stood for God. He really had indeed been very jealous for God.
Yes, he had.
And had done a great work for God. But he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at his circumstances. He took his eyes off the Lord and looked at this woman Jezebel was going to kill him. He took his eyes off the Lord and looked at that threat she had made. It reminds me of Peter when he was sinking. You remember when Jesus was walking on the water? Peter said, well, let me try that.
And he did.
And he did.
Yes, sir.
Now, for all Peter's faults, how many fellas has walked on the water? But you know what Peter did? The storm was boisterous.
Yes, sir.
And the wind was howling, and Peter looked away for a minute.
Yeah.
And took his eyes off the Lord, didn't it?
Yeah.
What happened? Same thing that happened to you and me, ain't it?
Yeah.
You take your eyes off the Lord, you begin to sink. You'll begin to fail. You and I are not responsible for what everybody else is doing. Elijah said, these people are doing this, and they're doing that, and they're doing this, and it's just me. Yeah. poor pitiful me. I'm the only fellas doing anything. I'm the only preachers preaching, Don. Amen. We're the only churches preaching the truth. That's not so. Wasn't so in Elijah's day, and it's not so in our day. It seems that way because we're all scattered all over the place. But God's got His remnant, don't He?
He does. Yes, sir. Amen.
God has a remnant. That's why it's good for us to get together. It's not time for Christians to retreat. It's not time for Christians to be quiet. You say the world will think we're crazy. I want you to think about that statement a minute. The world will think we're crazy. The world's turned upside down. Who cares if they think we're crazy? Amen. The world's a train wreck. Who cares if they think we're crazy? And we won't be the first people they thought was crazy.
Right. Amen.
We don't need to worry about what the world thinks. We need to care about what God thinks.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'm an ambassador from the King of Heaven.
Amen.
Did you hear that? I'm an ambassador from the King of Heaven. What do I care what anybody thinks about me but God? We need to put that in our head, don't we? We need to understand that in order to do anything for God, we're going to have to go against this world. And whoever is a friend of this world is enmity with God.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake. We are fools for Christ's sake. He was talking to those Corinthians, and they were a mess.
They were.
And he used sarcasm. He said, but ye are wise in Christ. He was kidding. He said, we are weak, but you're strong. He said, ye are honorable, but we're despised. He was actually getting on to
it.
Some folks are so cozy with the world that they can't take a stand. They live and act and laugh at the same thing the world laughs at. The things that make us weep, we ought to be crying. Makes us laugh, we ought to be weeping over.
Right. Amen.
I was working with a fellow one time. Y'all going to sleep on me. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But anyhow, I'm just going to go on to sleep. I'll just pray. I was working with a fellow, and he was said he was a Christian. And I really think in the long run, the Lord took him home. And I really think he probably wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
But he was doing wrong, way wrong. And I talked to him about it.
Yeah.
And you know what he told me? He said, Lot was a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I told him? I said, if Lot is your spiritual hero, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If Lot is your spiritual hero, you're in trouble. Yeah, the Bible says Lot was put to heaven. He was saved. But he lost his wife. He lost all his possessions. He lost his kids. He lost everything. He got out of that mess with the clothes on his back.
So, yeah.
By the skin of his teeth.
Yes, sir.
You need to find if Lot's your spiritual hero, you better find you another one. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to be like that. Noise and commotion don't necessarily mean God's in it. It's no time to retreat. It's time to take a stand.
Amen.
Number three, we're never alone.
There you go.
We're never alone.
Praise the Lord.
You know, Elijah felt like he was all alone, but one with God is a majority. Elijah felt like he was all alone. We don't need anybody but God. We don't need anybody but God. I was reading today in the book of Malachi. Almost preached on tithing tonight. That'd have been a good one, wouldn't it? And we'll get to it Sunday at my church, brother. Y'all spared. Amen. Do you know what God said in that book of Malachi chapter 3? He said, prove me.
Now,
prove me. In other words, God says, try me.
Yes,
try me. Put me to the test. We're scared to put him to the test.
Right.
We're scared to step out real big because we're scared he won't do it, but he'll do it.
Yes. Amen.
I told the church the other night, I said, we don't pray big enough.
You got that right.
We ought to pray bigger.
Yes, sir.
We ought to think bigger. Prove me. Prove me. We're never alone. In your darkest hour, you're never alone.
Right, right. Thank you, Lord.
Paul told Timothy, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me.
Yeah.
I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I like what he said next, though. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
Yeah.
God had a people in Elijah's day, and he has a people in our day that have not bowed the knee. Not everybody's kissed the Pope's big toe today. Amen. There's still some people who want to do right.
Yes, sir.
There's still some saved people. There's still some good churches. There's still some good preachers. Not everybody's going off the rails, amen?
Right.
Not everybody's sold out.
Amen.
Thank God even if it's just a remnant. Thank God for that. Let me say in closing that God wasn't done with Elijah. Elijah thought God was done with Elijah. Maybe you're here this evening and you think God's done with you. Maybe you've gotten old and you think, well, there's nothing else I can do. That's not the case. If you get to where you can't physically go like you used to go, pray for me.
Amen.
Pray for this man right here. Pray for that man back there.
Amen.
Pray for our churches. If you can't get out and go like you used to go, you can still do something. We've got a lady in our church and she's in a physical mess. I mean, absolutely. And I couldn't take time to describe to you all that's physically going on. And do you know what she does? She gets a box of cards and she sends cards to people and lets them know the church is praying for
them. Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said she had done what she could.
Amen.
She had done what she... You can do something. If you get in a place where you feel like you can't do nothing, that's not so. You can do something. If you can think, you can pray.
Amen.
You don't even have to pray out loud, do you?
No.
You can pray. I thought about this. A good deal this New Testament was written from a prison cell. You know, I don't know what Paul thought, but I just think as a preacher what I'm thinking. Lord, why don't you let me out of here where I can go preach the gospel?
Yeah.
Why don't you let me out of here where I can go minister to these churches? But God had a bigger plan, didn't he?
Yeah, sure, right.
We've been reading this for a long time, haven't we, brother?
Sure. Sure. Amen.
You know what Paul, he said, you know what Paul said? I'm just speculating. I imagine he said what little Fanny Crosby said.
Yeah.
He doeth all things well.
Yes, he did.
He probably wasn't saying that at the time, though. He probably was thinking, I don't understand why I'm stuck in this jail cell writing these letters. Aren't you glad he wrote those letters?
And they're still.
If you feel like you can't do something, you're wrong. God can use you no matter where you're at in your life.
Amen.
God can use you. I thought about those little children here in these wheelchairs the past few nights. How fortunate we are to be able to just get around.
Amen.
And we gripe, complain.
Oh, yeah.
It's silly, isn't it? God's been so good to us.
Yeah.
I look back there and they're singing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And smile. Y'all frowning and sleeping. Yeah. Well, I can't see. I look like looking at Don's windshield. I taught him today how to use a windshield washer. About quitting, you think about giving up. You think life really get easier if you quit. Have you ever seen people quit on God? Does life get easier? Huh? You ever seen a Christian turn tail and head back the other way? Does life get easier for them? I ain't seen that. I've seen it get rougher. God asked the prophet, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And God had more work for Elijah, didn't he? He had to train a fellow named Elisha. He had to anoint a king.
Yeah.
And he went up in a fiery chariot, didn't he?
Sure.
And I noticed there was two fellows in the New Testament that was talking to Jesus. On the Mount of Transfiguration. You know who one of them was? Moses and Elijah. God must thought, Elijah didn't think too much of himself at the moment, but God must thought a lot about it. You know, a lot of folks are looking for the sensational. They're looking for the fire and the earthquake and the wind.
Yeah.
We need to be looking for the still small voice.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray he's speaking to you tonight. Keep going.
Yeah.
Don't quit.
Amen.
Keep going. Simon Peter, we talked about him tonight. He said some rash things at times, but he definitely said one thing right. Jesus asked him, said, will you all also go away?
Yeah.
You know what he said? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to run, is it? We've done run to the God of the universe. Where are you, how are you going to beat that? You're not. If you're here tonight and you get discouraged and depressed, you're not the first person. You just need to keep your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Get refocused on God. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. You got other people watching. You got kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews. You got people watching you.
Amen.
I tell them, my wife don't like me to talk about this, but I don't always obey my wife. Amen. But one of these days they're gonna lay me in one of them boxes up here, and my family's gonna walk by me. And more than anything else, I'd like them to say that I was a Christian.
Amen.
And I serve God.
Amen.
All my life. That's what I'd like.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Amen.
Brother Don, you come ahead. Thank you, folks, for this wonderful week. God bless you.